Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler, and I'm so happy that you've joined us. Our mission is to provide stories and resources that will give you inspiration to explore all of the possibilities that your life can be. The possibilities are limitless, and guess what? So are you. It begins with believing. Believing in yourself, believing that the future is yours to write, believing that you can not only write your desired future, but that you have everything that you need to write it, edit it as needed, and fully and wonderfully live it. And you don't have to wait. You can start today. The pen truly is in your hand. I cannot wait to share this week's conversation with you. Today is an Emmy Award-winning media advisor who helps clients leverage their media exposure, find fame, and make an impact. He is the editor-in-chief of I Have a Podcast and is responsible for discovering and amplifying the voice of independent podcasters worldwide. He is a former network executive at MTV Networks, where he discovered talent and developed new ways to support their goals, pioneering the ways that brands and business owners can contribute to their public narrative by making them stars and producers of their own television series. His name is Vinny Potestivo, and I hope that you enjoy meeting him. Vinny, thank you so much for joining me here on the Unyielded podcast.
Oh my gosh, Bob, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So this should be a lot of fun. Why don't we kick it off? Do you want to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes, this is my favorite part because now I get to decide who I'm going to be after, you know, forever. You will always be part of the alchemy of my creative output. So I acknowledge and thank you for the chance to get to realign who I want to be, because I can so get stuck in who I used to be. I can tell you I'm the MTV guy in the 90s and the Osbournes, and I did all these reality shows, and I could tell you about the QVC stuff I've done, the stars that I've built, like Mandy Moore and Beyonce and Ashton Kutcher. I can go the oldest of four, Staten Island. The truth of the matter is I'm a creator, and all of those pieces make up the sum part that is me. And it's an ever-evolving answer. So I appreciate the shot at thinking about, in this conversation, who I am today and how I can best show up. I like to think of myself as a creator economist, maybe. I can take a look at what's happening in this creator economy that I've been in since the late 90s, helping gigantic storytellers and modern storytellers take ownership of their stories and putting that and how that feeds the economy. Those are the things that I think I'm most attracted to.
Cool. What do you mean by the creator economy?
Yeah, this idea. Well, I mean, the creator economy is the creator economy is a real economy. So if you're looking from a financial structure, the money that's being siphoned away from television, maybe being all the advertising money being pulled away from the print world of media, newspapers and magazines, it's going someplace. And one of the places that it's going to are influencers who now have their newsletters and their e-zines and their social media and their digital series and their podcasts. And they have ways of creating and organizing audiences where they themselves have become super effective communicators for brands. So I can answer it two ways. The creator economy, from the perspective I'd like to look at it, from the creative perspective, it's decentralized content. It's no longer having to go to the MTVs, the CBSs, even to Instagram. It's the ability to have content that I own, intellectual property that I own, create a world for me, an economy for me, where I can collaborate and bring in other creators or brands. I can create more value with relationships that I'm having, and all of it from content, intellectual property that I own. And that's, you know, we hear like good old stories from back hundreds, thousands of years, seashells and gold bar. You know, we think of all the ways we've been trading. Art has always stood the test of time, if anything, right? Like, and we, unfortunate for most artists up until this point, the most successful ones didn't find out they were successful until well after their time here on Earth. So we are so lucky to be in a place and point in time where we have the ability to eat and get instant feedback and instant distribution and have ownership over that now. So this creator economy, to me, represents a way where we're monetizing and fiscally being rewarded for the way that we're socializing ourselves as brands and our businesses as brands.
I totally get that. So why is this something that you're so passionate about?
Oh, I've just the power in storytelling. And small and medium-sized business company owners have always had the power, I think, in America, in the world. It's the companies that shape us, that serve us, that become sort of the biggest contributors to microcultures. And when I worked at MTV in the late 90s, I worked with artists, Ashton Kutcher and Beyonce and Sharon Osbourne. I worked with people who were modern storytellers who had to go through television. So I was just lucky to have an office at MTV. It was just right for me, right place, right time. And also I wasn't encumbered with responsibilities at that network other than talent development. And for me, the timing of talent development in reality couldn't have been better because I had access to programming. I had access to studio. I had access to cameras and equipment. People weren't pitching us ideas and people weren't necessarily pitching us, you know, their reality. Sharon Osbourne certainly did. And she talks about it all the time. Sharon Osbourne wanted to do something, but she didn't quite know what it was. None of us did. And we did a Cribs episode, which is a show where MTV goes in and sort of lifestyles of the rich and famous. And we look at people's homes. And it was a really cool episode because it was these two young kids kind of giving us a tour of Ozzy Osbourne's home.
Oh, my goodness.
Something was unique there, you know? This was a show that clearly was steeped in music credibility. We didn't necessarily spend a lot of time educating the audience on who Ozzy Osbourne was. To be really honest, at that point in time, in 2000s, you know, it was NSYNC, Britney Spears, the pop boom happened. Mm-hmm. Spice Girls had already been a thing. So like Ozzy Osbourne was not, you know, necessarily, there would have been a lot of money spent educating the audience on who he was for them to understand. But it was really the perspective of rock royalty siblings. Money doesn't buy you everything and money don't buy love. And this side and that side of the grass is never always greener. And like Hollywood's kind of messed up. And what story can we take? I look at all of those people. It's weird to say, but they're all small business owners. Like beyond, they have teams of 10, 15, maybe 20, 30 employees max, or freelancers. When you think of around a celebrity unit,
yeah,
a publicist, a communications core, a styling team, like some of that stuff. And maybe 10 years ago, when I really firmly believed that the power in media had shifted back to us, the people who were watching it, who were responsible for growing the advertising that we were being fed, you know, in a weird way. Like we watched so much of it that we complied with that level of advertising that TV was giving us. And I think that the best type of content to watch is the type of content that's fun to make. If you're not having fun making it, generally speaking, it's usually not fun to watch. Whether I've worked on The Housewives or Punk, I mean, I can go through a list of shows that if it wasn't fun and rewarding to create, it wasn't fun or rewarding to watch. And one of the things I wanted to help people do specifically outside of the world of TV is not make the mistakes that I saw happen early on where that led to fatigue, that led to no response, that led to them thinking they were bad creators because of one technical glitch or they didn't feel worthy. So I love showing people how easy it is to win awards. You have to apply to win. The weirdest thing about this industry is you have to apply to win awards. So in school, we're used to maybe getting awards because it's built into an academic
right
where adults said, hey, we need to find a way to reward these students. Let's just build it into the system so that we always making sure we're rewarding them. We'll build it in. So where's our system? There's no one walking around Hollywood saying, here's your Tony. Oh, John Legend. here's your EGOT. You're so good. No, you have to pay thousands of dollars for application and submission. And you have to be part of unions and institutions to even qualify for some of them. So I love helping people understand how to win awards, right? How to show up and be in an award-winning list that you can leverage for press that's searchable on Google. That says that, you know, maybe your goal isn't to be the best podcaster, but your goal is to be the best legal voice in podcasting. So you can be seen as a legal expert, an award-winning legal expert in the world of podcasters, which might be where a TV news network executive is looking to book a guest, perhaps, to have you on there. So, and these are the things that I just love being, you said passion, you're going to get it. Yeah. I just, you know, because people of 25 years ago, it was a casting director like me that needed to bump into you. That was the right place, right time. And yeah. Some people are still waiting around. And I'm like, no, you are the right place, right time. You decide where I find you. You decide what I share after I discover you. You decide, you get to make all those pieces for me. And those are the things I really love helping people make, regardless of their goals of being a celebrity or not. I'm happy to make people world famous as long as there's motive that's going to change humanity and bring this world to the next level. And that's all happening as small business owners. That's why, and I know it. And I've seen it. I believe in it. All my heart. I know.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people are really tapping into being that content creator. You know, whether it's through podcasting or just, I mean, even on LinkedIn, you see people who have, you know, and these are not celebrities, but they have, you know, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of followers. So you can even help someone like that.
There's a built-in people pleaser in this guy that comes from a wounded background and a wounded childhood and all those bad stories I believed that I told myself that gave me the superpowers to get to make celebrities. And by the way, we can all be celebrated. So let's agree to that. We can all be celebrated. And if we have an imagination and we take that imagination and put it on paper, if we make something with it, that makes us creative, right? A word, a sentence, a squiggle, even, by the way, y'all. I just love the fact that we can identify as creators. How could I not help people become better creators, more confident creators, if I know that all they need to do is put it out in the world for their world to change? Like that, by putting one post out there changes the direction of inbound and outbound energy. Believe in that. And it's the most precious thing we can create. There's just inherent opportunities for growth in the intellectual property, the creative part of where we're at now. And we need to get more creative. We need to ask better questions. We need to stop coming up with the same old answers. That's part of the problem, right? Bad answers tend to be driven from bad questions. Some of the best questions are usually not even questions. They're just statements that, you know.
I love your passion around it. So now earlier you said when it came to content, it needs to be fun to make. Because if it's not fun to make, and I've always talked about that too. Like I used to do way back in the day, I would mentor upcoming speakers. And I'd always say, if you're not passionate about what you're talking about, guess what? No one else is going to be either, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're passionate, you can make anything interesting. So fun to make. What are some other things that you think people could do? You know, some quick steps that way.
Yeah. And by the way, that's for sustainability. Could you make something that's not fun to make and could it have an impact? Yes, absolutely. Is that a sustainable strategy? No. Is that proven? No, but I want to say yes. And then just know that that's from my family. So don't Google me and don't fact check me on that. It really is. It's not because if we're not inspired to want to use new equipment, if we're not inspired to want to figure out how to better use filters or stickers or all of these layers that these social networks give us now, Pinterest has something really interesting out right now, a social platform called Shuffles. And what Shuffles does is it takes the pins that we've been pinning to Pinterest. And with a single tap of a button, it almost like cuts it out like a collage. And you can bring it in. And so you can create a collage, a single piece of artwork. I bring this up because it's a whole new way of creating. No one's sitting here saying, well, one day when Pinterest comes out with the ability to take my collages, then I'll finally know that will be my moment, right? It's almost like if you go to the beach and can do a little visualization for a second and go picture me, little Vinny, this Jersey Shore, you know, I got my board shorts on, I got my boogie board, and I'm watching like all the little kids. You know, I'm a little stout fella. I'm tall, but I'm stout. So I'm watching the skinny kids hit the board quickly. They're zooming right in way past me. I'm watching some of the bigger guys actually land big waves and going slow and steady. I can't get on my board. I'm getting frustrated. This is what it feels like on social media often. Where it's like, I don't know. I see these ways. Should I do that? Oh, but that trend, am I too late for that trend?
That's right.
Am I going to go? So what I'm not going to do is swim after a wave that passed me. Maybe as a kid, I might have spent a lot of energy swimming after waves that already passed me, right? No, I'm not going to catch the wave. If I do, it's not going to be fulfilling. I'm not going to be my best. And by knowing how I want to perform, it allows me to better utilize these new features that are coming out on social media. And to me, that's the way to grow in platform. I'm careful about adding new networks to my world. So for example, you brought up podcasting and LinkedIn. I'm leaning deep into podcasting, but by being a podcast guest, it's allowed me to work on my answers. It's allowed me to work on it's allowed me to create better questions, as you said earlier, so that I can have more impactful answers that are predicated on experience and the experiences mm-hmm. that I can pull from and the ones that I want to be in the future as well.
Nice. And I love that when you said, don't swim after waves that have already passed.
Yeah.
You know, right? And you said there, Vinny, something like, you know how you want to surf it or something mm-hmm. like that. So how does that translate for someone who is trying to be creative, be a content creator?
I love that. Well, first off, you have a choice. You have a choice in how and when and where and why you get discovered. Let's just put that energy out there. Now, yes, can you do something silly? Or something on purpose accidentally, and can trip the universe and have instant fame and about, yes, it's happened. And usually it ends with a laugh. Yeah. And it ends with a laugh. And there's like, you know, we're all together and we got you. And for one unfortunate reason or another. But I have to stress that you have a choice in how and when and where you get discovered. This is the thing that I think that could be probably, if we were to spend some time together, the thing that I know I can make the most impact in. Exposure without action is just discovery. So you can be discovered, right? So someone can see you, they can be exposed to you, but if they're not taking an action, if you're not giving them something to do after seeing you, for example, artists go on late night TV shows, they do a performance. What's the action? Go buy their album. So there's an action, right? And that action, go buy their album, could actually be go buy their album for you, go buy the album for someone you love, go buy two, you know, there's a lot of opportunities there for that artist who's created something tangible and that can be shared and experience. And there's a whole list of ways that I could talk to you about creative marketing. I don't want to fall into that loophole. I want to specifically talk about businesses that might not identify as being creative. Those are the ones that I feel like oftentimes disconnect with the creative conversation on social media. How do they stand out? You know, we talked about awards earlier. What awards could local businesses be having? Chamber of Commerce have awards. I think one of my favorite ones is a weird thing to say, TripAdvisor. If you ever travel international and you're looking around for places to eat, you might notice there's a small little golden TripAdvisor restaurant, you know, certification. What that's really doing is saying that we're part of a bigger ecosystem, something you recognize. This is a safe establishment.
That's right.
That ability to win that award sends that level of message. We're looking for like-mindedness, right? Mm-hmm. And also lets them stand out. At a point in time, we think of social media right now predominantly as our peers, which predominantly feel from coast to coast, LA to New York, maybe Hawaii, you know, like the contiguous America states. Where technology is going is global, where my team members, some might be from India and some might be from Japan and some might be from Paris and some might be from Pittsburgh. And it all works seamlessly together now. Like this global way that people are connecting, it all happens through creativity. It all happens right now. That's the only thing that spans language is creativity, is me. There's a reason why memes are almost like international. It's a sentiment, right? It's an emotion. How does this make you feel? Do you understand the point of view of this person from a humanity perspective? And I think that that's where SMB owners, that's where solopreneurs, that's where, and I'm certainly a solopreneur as well, can have the most impact in our messaging.
That's right. Okay, so here's a question. Let's say the small, medium business owners or executives, managers, entrepreneurs, whatever that might be, and they're listening and they're like, okay, but I'm just not creative. How would you respond to that?
Okay. So yeah, I'm like, okay. So I'm not going to tell you what you're not. I'm not going to tell you what you are. So if you're not creative, here is a non-creative strategy for non-creators. Ready? This is a cool one.
Okay.
Ready? Okay. All you have to do is being yourself creative? No, right? Being yourself is not.
I think it is. Right?
Well, for these people, they've identified as not being creative. So they would say no, right? So they would say
That's
no,
right.
outright no, I'm absolutely not creative. Cool. So again, if you're not creative, this is the perfect strategy for you. Be a podcast guest. I promise you. I promise you there is no better piece of content that you can make than showing up and not being creative. Don't be creative. Don't be silly. Don't think out of the box. Don't do anything that makes you uncomfortable. Just strictly be yourself. And like we're having this conversation right here where, Bobby, my facts don't change and like my character, the names don't change, but this, my story has completely changed in this hour that we've been talking because of the questions you've asked, because of the space you've provided me. I feel like I was a little plant. I feel like you gave me a little bit of a bigger pot. You know, I feel like I got my roots got to grow a little bit deeper. Sorry, y'all. That's me being creative. but wiping away that creativity, right? Right. So it's a safe, so create a safe space with somebody like Bobby, right? For example, we met on a podcast directory network called Podmatch. They literally, it's like matchmaking for podcasters. They have taken out all of the guessing work of who I might connect with. I told Podmatch, I want to talk about these 10 topics. You told Podmatch, you want to talk about these 10 topics. And Podmatch said, you two are saying the same thing. You guys talk. So I leap on that. First off, my strategy is to send you the person that I connect with an email and I say, we match. And here's what I did in my past. And here's what I'm doing in my future. And here's what I'd like to do with you on your, here's what I talk about in general. And here's how maybe we can work it into your podcast. If you would be open to having my energy, I'd love to figure out how we can collaborate. There's, now, by the way, if anyone wants my outline for my template, please DM me, look in the show notes, but please direct message me and I will send you the same exact template that I send to everyone. I change the first sentence and it's always radically different, the first sentence, because I'm casting, you know, I'm very careful about the energy I let into my life. Y'all change my output. So like, Bobby, you asked me the wrong question and I start dwelling on that question for the next 10 years. You know, I'm really careful about it. As someone who's not creative, being able to show up at a place like this on a Zoom call, perhaps, where someone else is going to record the content, where someone else is going to even publish the content, maybe they'll take something that you said, like a quote that you said, and turn it into a quote card, or like let them be creative. That's my answer, right? So if you're not creative, find someone who's creative. There are three types of creators. There is the creator's creator. You're talking to him right now. I'll tell you, man, just like I'm painting without a paintbrush in hand, without the paint. You know, that's me. I'm like just the murals, the boxes, the art, you know, the Amazon boxes itself is art. But you've got your analytical creator, right? The person who is highly aware of the performance aspect of it. So if you are not a creator and you're looking to partner with somebody, know that there is an analytical creator, somebody who's mindful of the process, right? They know their Google ads, they know Facebook ads, and they understand what the results need to be. You also have your strategic creator. You're also talking to him too. This strategic creator is like, it's all about relationships. It's all about how am I going to, instead of this being a project, how do I make this a journey? You know, so that person is just mindful of the way to create long-standing relationships as a result of the creative component you've done. If there's one tip you want to hear from me, and this is like from the heart, if you only have 5 minutes a month or a day or a year to do something on social media in general, I would literally suggest that you put out a LinkedIn newsletter. There's nothing more evergreen and more socially rewarding that happens in a social network and connects to Google than what I'm seeing in LinkedIn newsletters. So those are the three types. And we're out there and we all, you know, some people call themselves strategists and coaches, and there are lots of creators out there. I specialize in creating departments in non-creative companies. Skincare, for example, is not traditionally a company that would necessarily have an art department or a podcast studio or a photo studio in there for Instagram, even though now most do. And helping those QVC brands and Sephora brands, you know, adapt to this modern culture has been fun. It's been rewarding. Yeah. It's been cool. I got to build an MTV talent development department in like the late 90s with this awesome man named Rod Asa. It feels like I'm building talent development departments with SMB owners is what it feels like. Like I'm not just helping them figure out how to get more sales on their product. I'm helping them figure out how to have a better product that better serves the larger goal. And that to me is where talent development meets media development in this creator economy.
I love that. And I love the fact that you're helping people, the brands who don't necessarily think that they are, you know, oh, well, we're not creative. And I hope people take you up on this. The offer to DM you about your template Because I'll tell you what, you know, so many people that I reached out to originally when I started the podcast, and I knew that they had great stories. The first response was always like, really? You want me as a guest? What do I have to talk about? And it's like, your story, your life, it's inspiring. I mean, Vinny, the whole reason I started this podcast was, I mean, I've done thousands of workshops for corporations over the years, thousands. And I heard some of the most fascinating stories from people. Like, I had people who were ghost hunters that had been to Alcatraz. I had one woman in the class who, it was her grandfather, and they were in the South, and he spent his retirement years going from one slave cemetery to a next, restoring them. And I'm like, oh my God. And I always thought, these stories need to be out there. But people are like, oh, I don't have a story. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Of course you have a story. And it's fascinating.
You sound like a documentary reality TV producing development executive. Like I understand that world very well. But what you're talking about, it's so important and happens in something as simple as podcasting. It puts structure to that creative property where it has much more impact than a specific social media post. So again, I'm just really passionate about seeing people be successful here.
I love what you're doing and how you're helping people. So let me ask you this, because I want to make sure I'm respecting your time too. If someone's interested in what you're doing or they want to follow you, like, tell us more. How can they do that?
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. So it's a great place to break the ice is on LinkedIn. So please don't waste an in-mail credit if you have to. Hopefully not. I make myself pretty available. So just say hi. It's where it starts. That's what makes me happy. And because I know it makes my family proud that I'm able to be in a space that's much larger than me. And I can be the tiniest cog with the smallest or the biggest cog. And it's still all a machine. And I love that. I do have a creator hub where it's constantly updating it with free information. So if anyone goes to vpe.tv, this is my website, vpe.tv, you'll get access to my list of 99 awards worthy of winning. About 60 creator marketing platforms that pay out that you should be aware of. So if you're a creator or a podcaster or you're an influencer, you identify as any of those and you don't know how to get brand money from sponsorships, not ads, but sponsorships, I like to help you out with that. If you're a podcaster and your podcast isn't yet listed on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. So this is a big one, by the way, imdb.com, where we go to find out, you know, who made our favorite films, actor names, who wrote E.T., what was the name of that actor in that movie. Podcasts are now an intellectual property approved to be on IMDb, which means that if you're a podcaster, you're an executive producer, most likely a host. If you're anything like me, most likely also the editor and the writer, take your credit. This is creative credit giving and taking. So to be able to give credit to your team, your designers, your guests, by the way, your production company, they let you upload an infinite amount of photo and video assets to support this intellectual property. So if you made assets for social media and are looking for another place to put them, this is yet a great platform, and it speaks directly to Google. It will literally wash your Google images in a week. You will see, you know, social media from that you uploaded to Amazon. It's a big, big win, imdb.com, especially for podcasters. And I think of IMDb as like the LinkedIn for the creator economy. Like, that's my resume. If you want to know what TV shows I created or was a part of or cast or host or whatever, you go to IMDb to see it. And this is our way of getting lawyers and teachers and people who don't traditionally have an opportunity to be seen as creatives. This is our opportunity to get them on IMDb as well.
That's cool. That's great advice. Very cool. Thanks. Yeah, Vinny, thank you so much for joining and for sharing everything and just bringing your passion for what you do. I always love that.
Oh, you rock, Bobby. Thank you so much.
I hope that you enjoyed that interview. Here were some things that really stood out to me during the conversation. Number one, the best way to be creative is to be you. Use your voice. Number two, content should be fun to make. If it's not fun to make, it's probably not going to be fun for people to consume. And finally, you have a story that is worth sharing. So find ways to do that. As always, I want to thank you for tuning in and for listening. I appreciate your support. I hope that you're enjoying these interviews. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you never miss another episode. Take care this week and make sure that you thrive no matter what.